One more time, let us approach the throne of grace, and we will ask Brother Kawawa to pray. Beloved, our Holy Father, our Heavenly Father, who lives in the heavens, in the name of our Lord and through the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ, your only Son, we want to approach your throne of grace and mercy to praise you, to praise your holy name. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for directing our thoughts towards you, that we can together praise you, that we can together be here. We ask for thy guidance, for thy blessings, for thy Holy Spirit, so that only your thoughts, whatever will bring you praise and honor, will be brought forth here, not only from the podium, but from our hearts as well, so that we could praise you and thank you that you showed us your holy plan, not only show us the plan, but also that you called us, that you opened our eyes, opened the way, that we can follow the footsteps of our Lord, your Son. We ask for the Holy Spirit so that the words which will be spoken will praise you. We ask not only for all of us who are here gathered together, but for all the children who have given their lives, those who want to follow in the footsteps of our Master. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And at this moment, we will ask Brother Daniel Szarkowicz to serve us from his holy book. The name of his subject is an interesting one. The name of his talk will be, Do You Know Jesus? We think we know the answer, but we are wondering what he will tell us about it. Please, Brother Daniel.
Dear brethren, friends, peace be unto you. It is my pleasure and privilege to be with you at this convention and together look unto Jesus. Jesus desires to reveal himself to you. He desires to have an intimate closeness with you. He has even called you his friend. He invites us to seek him, to get to know him, so that through him we may see our Heavenly Father. As he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. But who is Jesus? Philippians 2, 6-11. Although he existed in a form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in a likeness of man, being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God, the Father. His life, his teachings has touched every one of us here very deeply. And not only us, he has changed the course of history and has affected the life of every man. But who is Jesus? We could quickly answer, Jesus is our Redeemer. He is the center of our faith. But other people for generations are pursuing and asking the same question. Who is Jesus? Today, we will consider who Jesus claimed to be and why this matters to us today. Do you know him today? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 13 to 15, we read, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do people say Jesus is? There are many historical and archaeological facts proving the existence of Jesus. Those of you who took a trip to Israel most likely visited the Israeli Museum in Jerusalem, where one can see exhibit titled Jesus of Nazareth, showing the direct archaeological links to Jesus. There are so many churches and temples built in his name. So many images, so many art pieces about Jesus, poems, songs written about him. But people are still puzzled in asking this very question. Why is it so hard to give a simple answer? Why are people still perplexed? Let us look at this question from a few different viewpoints. Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And let us at this time look at this question from this very standpoint, how our culture views Jesus. We must undoubtedly admit that the mass media has an influence on the perception of people today. It crafts the image of Jesus on the subconscious of viewers in a very specific way. The movie industry has produced many speculative and controversial pictures when the integrity of Jesus is questioned and challenged. The popular press published volumes and volumes of books about Jesus, from research biographies to speculative fictions. In our common language, the name Jesus is misused and abused, often used as the exclamation at the end of a sentence. Who is Jesus to people today? How does our culture answer this question? Jesus is anything we wanted him to be. That's how our culture sees it. But when Jesus asks his disciples this question, from their answers, we can have a good sense that people at that time view Jesus as a religious figure. Some say Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So let us briefly look how different religions today answer this question. Most Christians believe that Jesus is the second person of Trinity, equal to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Modern spirituality says that Christ is a state of consciousness that we can all aspire to. Islam says that Jesus is a manifestation of God and a prophet, but still inferior to Muhammad. Buddhists believe that Jesus was an enlightened man, but not as enlightened as Buddha. In Hinduism, Jesus is a wise man or reincarnation of gods. Most religions see Jesus as a great man, someone who needs to be respected for his teachings. But do they fully appreciate or even understand who Jesus truly is? We can look at Jesus and his teaching from a number of angles. We can view him from a prophetic standpoint and ponder upon the hundreds of prophecies that came to pass. We can look at Jesus from a logical standpoint, in explanation of life's realities. Or we can take the teaching of Jesus from the standpoint of our own experience and check against our own knowledge what life brings. The way we see Jesus determines how we feel about him, how we understand him. This is why Jesus, in pursuing these questions, go deep into the heart of every man, and he is still asking, what do you say that I am? Let us look at this question from our personal perspective and our personal experience. Our biographies may be all different as we live in different countries. We came from different walks of life. But perhaps some of our stories will overlap. So let me share with you my own and see if you can relate to it. Growing up in a Bible student home from my childhood, I was exposed to the idea that Jesus is the Son of God, is our Savior. But not only this, I have also experienced a very intimate closeness with him. Since my earliest memories, Jesus was always part of my life, part of who I am. From my childhood, he was always the center of my life, my best friend, someone I could call upon or run when I was in need. Someone I could share my heart with, my dreams, my fears, someone who knew me intimately. I saw Jesus through the lens of what was going on in my life. At school, I wanted Jesus to be by my side when I was writing tests. When I immigrated to Canada, I wanted him to open the doors of opportunity for me. When I was choosing my spouse, I confided in him. When my children were born, I committed them into his care. At work, I wanted him to be my partner, to be my advisor. When we reflect about Jesus from our personal experience, we realize that we often have the tendency to see Jesus through the prism of what is going on in our lives at the moment. That usually when things are difficult, when we are in tough situations, we run into him. When Jesus asked his disciples how people view him, what people say he is, how they themselves thought he is, Jesus was not trying to find out for himself. He wasn't asking this question to find himself. He was asking this question so he could find them. Jesus very often asks questions not for his sake, but for the sake of the one who is asked. Questions that often we are too ignorant to ask ourselves. Our personal view, our perception about Jesus does not change him, but it totally changes us. It changes everything about us. Who you say Jesus is in your heart will determine how you will feel about him. If you think that Jesus is a good teacher, you will follow him like you will follow a good teacher. If you think that Jesus has a good insight into who we are, then you will listen to what he has to say. If you think that Jesus set a good example to follow, then you will try to follow his example. However, if you believe that Jesus is the promised Redeemer who came to this earth to pay the ransom price, to conquer sin and death, to give you justification and bring you to the oneness with Heavenly Father, then that changes everything about you. When we truly meet Jesus in our life, our lives will never be the same. We will never be the same. And that is why Jesus himself is giving us an insight into who he really is. Jesus reveals to us the truth about himself in the most precise and very direct self in the identifying statements. I am statements. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of this world. I am the door. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, the life, and many more. And if we open our hearts and our minds to listen to his voice, they will transform us. They will transform how we view him, how we feel about him, and how we understand him. And with this, let me take you to John chapter 8, where the leaders ask Jesus in verse 53. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? In the intensity of the moment, they ask, who are you, Jesus? Tell us, who are you? In verse 54 and 56, Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And I say that if you do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham saw his days through the eyes of his faith. He saw him by going to a foreign land and offering his son Isaac. Abraham grasped the future, seeing Christ in the heavenly courts. But for this, one needs to have eyes of faith. Same is with us today. Your eyes of faith will give you the insight into who Jesus is. But Jesus' contemporaries were ignorant, relying on their birthrights rather than exercising the faith of Abraham. So in verse 58, Jesus gives them the most profound insight into who he is. Jesus said to them, Truly, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Our Trinitarian friends very quickly connect this statement with the time when Moses, when God asked Moses to go to the Israelites with a message from him. Moses wondered what he would tell them if they asked him what God's name was. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This I am who I am statement shows the real being of Yahweh, his self-existence. However, in this statement, Jesus implies something else. We know that Jesus existed as a Logos with his Father. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word Logos, and the Logos was with God. In this statement, before Abraham was born, I am, Jesus expresses few very essential facts. First, as Brother Russell writes in fifth volume on page 90, it signifies that there has been no ceasing of existence at any time in the interim, and positively identifies Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, with the Logos, the firstborn of all creation. End of quote. John 1:14. And the Logos was made flesh and dwell among men. And we behold his glory, the glory of the one begotten of Father, full of grace and truth. Secondly, Jesus' statement, I am, he says, I am the promised seed of Abraham as typified by Isaac, offered by his father, in whom all the families of the earth will be blessed. I am the fulfillment of Abrahamic promise. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Apostle Peter beautifully captures those two features in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in those last days. Who is Jesus? From his own words, we learn, I am your Redeemer. Let us now move forward to John chapter 6, to another I am statement by Jesus, where we have a conversation recorded between the crowds and Jesus after he fed them. In verse 34, they requested, Lord, give us this bread always. In verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who will believe in me will never thirst. In this very direct statement, Jesus took one of the most basic parts of every meal, something that everyone can understand and relate to. And he says, this is who I am. He said, even if you don't realize it, you are hungry in the deepest level for me. Jesus revealed who he is, but tapping into the feelings that is familiar to every one of us. Every one of us know the feelings of hunger, to crave. We know what means to desire, what means to want. Jesus is showing us that our desires for him is one of the most basic aspects of our humanity. Jesus stops us and is telling us, if you want life, I am the bread. But we read in verse 66 that as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Why is it so hard to accept something that is so easy to understand? When Jesus made this I am statement, he presupposed two major facts. He presupposed that everyone is spiritually hungry and thirsty, but also that every spiritual need and hunger can be satisfied only by him. But the crowds didn't want this. They wanted his bread. They wanted his miracles. But Jesus was pursuing something different. He refused to give them, he refused for them to be distracted by their temporary desire and their temporary wants. He wanted them to focus on what is vital to life. Jesus is offering us nothing less than the gift of himself, the gift of his own life. Today we stand in front of him, hearing his voice. I am the bread of life. I am what you are hungering for. I am life itself. Those who respond to this call, year after year, reach for the bread, and in silence we break it and we eat. Why bread? Because we receive the life through the sacrifice of Jesus, that we might break it or sacrifice for God. The bread represents our Lord's body, and it also shows our justification through the acceptance of him. From his I am the bread of life statement, we learn, I am life itself. I am your justification. Let us now turn our attention to one more I am statement found in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The theme of spiritual life, light, is frequently used throughout the scriptures. The pursuit of every Hebrew was expressed and symbolized by light. The Lord is my light and my salvation, Psalm 27, verse 1. And then Jesus claims, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8, we find Jesus and his disciples in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a celebration to commemorate how God led his people through the desert. One of the ceremonies was drawing of water to remind them how God provided for them. Another was a light ceremony to remind them how God led them through the darkness of night. When the sun went down, a pillar of fire came up, and the people of Israel followed the pillar as their guide. During the Feast of Tabernacle, people would light torches and celebrate through the night. Even the golden lampstand would be lit, illuminating the temple. This was prophetically looking forward to the coming of Messiah. When Jesus said, I am the light, he was speaking loud and clear to the Jewish tradition. But what does it mean to us today? Western culture, especially our generation, is consumed in pursuit of knowledge, progress, innovation, creativity, but at the same time denies and rejects the existence of an intelligent creator. Now, more than ever, we think globally. We feel interconnected with each other. but we are getting disconnected with our Creator. We feel interconnected with nature. We feel responsible for the climate change, for animal kingdom. We feel that there is inherent value to life, to every life, to all life. But at the same time, many radical groups show total disregard for human life. War in Ukraine, suicide bombings, mass shooting in schools, and many others. And in the middle of this, there is this idea of light, the idea of spiritual enlightenment. Progressive thinkers are saying that the key to enlightenment is to know yourself truly as you are. In this new spirituality, God and His values are put aside, and you are the center of the universe. This could not be further from the truth, but even those ideas are revealing to us that people are still looking for light, for a center and purpose of their existence. People are still asking the very question that Jesus came to answer. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," He speaks directly to our human condition. As thinking people, we want to gain perspective on who we are. Jesus provides this answer. He is the enlightenment. He reveals the truth about our human condition and provides a solution. He is not one of the lights. He is the only light. We live in a time of massive acceleration of knowledge. We are constantly bombarded with new innovative thoughts and ideas. And as true followers of Christ, we should be very cautious with spiritual novelties. The advice of a prophet of old, a prophet Isaiah, is very relevant to our days. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it," whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left. Those days, almost intuitively, we Google for information. Let us not get confused what is vital to our spirituality. Jesus is the only light that we can be enlightened by. Brother Russell brings this to our attention in reprint 5338. Our Lord is spoken of being a great light in the same sense that the Heavenly Father is called the Father of Light. End of quote. This statement speaks directly to the source and the substance of the enlightenment that Jesus is. Yes, there are different cultural views to who Jesus is. Yes, there are different religious and personal perspective as well. But we can clearly see that Jesus' own answer to this question, who is Jesus, wipe out all those views. Because according to Jesus' I am statement, there is only one answer and there is only one view. He is the only one that we can be enlightened by, that illuminates the way to our Father. As Jesus himself proclaimed in John chapter 14, verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to Father but through me." To know Jesus is to know the direction and destination of our life. Christ is our way of living. He reveals the truth about ourselves. He gives our lives meaning. The cross of Christ is proof that the way to life has been open. He is the Redeemer who hung on the cross, offering his life to the hands of God's justice for our Father Adam. and in it for you and for me. We are not obstructions. You and I are the reason he came, and he gladly took up his cross to become a ransom for all. This cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a beacon of light for all mankind and a sign of contradiction to the values and principles of this world. It is a symbol of God's infinite love and power that came to us in the form of a perfect man, Jesus, being nailed to the cross at the end of his blameless life here on earth. The cross of Christ stands at the very entrance to God's plan of redemption, just like the gate to the tabernacle arrangement in the wilderness leads us towards God. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out, find pastures. Only through Jesus' sacrifice we can go beyond the human, and if faithful, be changed to spiritual. Only through Jesus we can enter into the rest of faith and go out into the pastures of his blessings. Jesus also said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Dying on a cross, raising from the grave, Christ shows us that he can transform death into life. Jesus, do you know him today? From all the I am statements, we are in awe how Jesus so clearly and precisely knows our hearts, how he addresses our human condition, our necessities. Christ puts meaning at every moment in history, in every moment of your life. He forces us to change the way we see ourselves. He describes our human condition most precisely as being the condition in need of redemption and grace. Jesus offers justification for a great cost that he himself fully paid at Calvary. Let us embrace this justification. Let us embrace Jesus. If you personally meet Jesus on your way, the reality of that meeting will remain with you till the day you die. Surrender yourself to him. Follow him. Love him. And live for him. May Jesus be your reality. Amen.
Dziękujemy Panu Bogu za Jego słowo i bratu Danielowi za usługę wykładem. Jest to takie bardzo ciekawe pytanie. I myślę, że każdy z nas powinien sobie je codziennie zadawać. Kim dla mnie jest Jezus Chrystus? Czy całe swoje życie podporządkowuję Jemu, Jego Ojcu? czy stał się źródłem naszego duchowego życia. Myślę, braterstwo, że nie mamy jeszcze pełnej wiedzy, jak wiele rzeczy kryje się w naszym Panu Jezusie Chrystusie. Jak wiele zawdzięczamy Ojcu Niebieskiemu, że dał swojego Syna, aby odkupić cały rodzaj ludzki. Ale nie tylko odkupić. Pokazał wzór postępowania. Pokazał poświęcenie i oddanie do końca. Jeżeli Chrystus stanie się dla nas kimś najważniejszym, jeżeli wrośniemy w Chrystusa, nie będzie żyło ja, lecz Chrystus, staniemy się kiedyś w przyszłości częścią tego mistycznego ciała, czyli Kościoła. Zakończymy tą część pieśnią, modlitwą i brata Huberta proszę o poprowadzenie pieśni.
Kochani braterstwo, zdaje się, potwierdzimy tą pieśnią ja zawsze do Jezusa słowa brata, który nam przedstawił teraz. Zaśpiewamy tą pieśń, to jest w śpiewnikach międzynarodowych numer 61, w polskich śpiewnikach 252. Proszę.
Zwrócimy się do tronu łaski naszego Ojca Niebieskiego, również prosząc o błogosławieństwo na te posiłki, które będziemy spożywali, a uczynimy to wspólnie z bratem Markiem Miksą.
Łaskawy, miłosierny, chwalebny Ojcze nasz, Panie nieba i ziemi. Chcieliśmy się w tej chwili przybliżyć jeszcze raz do tronu Twojego wielkiego miłosierdzia przez Twego Syna, przez Jego zasługę, aby złożyć Tobie z serc naszych uwielbień i podziękowania za wszystkie łaski, za błogosławieństwa, które tak hojnie, Ojcze, otrzymujemy z ręki Twej każdego dnia. Dziękujemy Ci, Ojcze, za powołanie,
for calling us, for the justification of our sins, for the fact that we are learning the truth, for that we are able to get together and learn from your holy word, that we can walk on this narrow way and according to your will. We thank you for all the graces. We thank you. We also ask you for forgiveness of our sins and the things that we amiss. Please cover all these things with the merit of our Lord, so that may we walk in thy presence blameless. We ask for all those who are having difficulties, who are sick, who are going through difficult experiences, who are in sorrow. Please give them strength so that they remain strong and they become faithful. Please, Lord, you give us everything that is needed. We also ask for the blessing on the meal that is ahead of us, so that we could be strengthened with the food and continue on this narrow way. We thank you again for everything that we receive, and we do all this through the merit and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.